All right. Well, good morning. Good to have you here again, and welcome. We'll not look at any more announcements till this morning, and we're going to jump right into things. We are looking at between now and July the 2nd, which is the next couple Sundays, still looking at a theme of what is sin, tying that into what we did on a Sunday night for two nights on looking at the homosexuality. And then through, when we get into the summertime, we're going to have some different men in the church who will be teaching some of the Sunday school lessons. We'll have a missionary on occasion. I'll take some spots. We may do a split session or two like we've done before with the ladies and the men. My wife may do an occasionally the class she does on every once in a while with mothers with younger children, parenting type thing. So we'll have some different things throughout July and August, even into September. But for now, over the next few weeks, at least, Lord willing, we're going to continue with this topic, and we're building the topic over the issue that is very prevalent today, although it was something that maybe has caught believers by surprise. Why are we even having a discussion? Why do we even need to discuss, is homosexuality wrong? Is it a sin? That should be a pretty much a given, but yet we understand, though, that that is a challenge for some today. I trust not you. I was reading an article that was passed on to me here, and you, some of you may get this. Some of you get some literature maybe from Answers in Genesis and all of that. And again, they do a great job on saying, I don't agree with all of their things they do, some separation issues and things like that, but I do appreciate their stand on creation, and they're strong on that. They have a lot of good material, so some of you may get their letters and things like that if you support them. And this was just came in recently, so I'm going to read this. Ever since the fall of man, now when we say the fall of man, if you say that's your children, you may have to explain that. You say, we're going to learn about the fall of man. Who knows what's going on in the mind of a child, right? Are they picturing a man falling? Are they picturing autumn, the leaves falling in the fall, summer season? We talk about the fall of man, original sin. We're talking about Genesis 3. There's been a battle between light and darkness, between truth and lie. It's a battle between good and evil, between God's word and man's word, between God and the devil. Now, here's what catches many people by surprise in the United States. Because of the history of the United States and the Judeo-Christian ethnic founded in the Bible and the way our country was founded on biblical values, even non-believers accepted marriage between a man and a woman. There are only two genders, and that abortion kills a human being, and the homosexuality is sin. Anybody can go back and look at the laws and rules of the states and this country and see that that is so. All right? I mean, anybody can see that. That for centuries, America was founded on the Bible principles and beliefs of absolute truth, right and wrong, sin, not sin, marriage, the family, gender, all of those things. But as we know through the scripture and the parables, just a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. The wheat and the tares parable, all right? The tares thrown in with the wheat, and over time, as we see years of secular humanism, atheism, all the things that we're seeing the harvest of that today that has caught many by surprise, although it shouldn't. All right, and many times as we sat idly by and saw some things, saw some cracks in the walls, saw some cracks in the foundation, but it'll be fine. And that's the way we usually do with things. It'll be fine. Something wrong with the car, it'll be fine. Not a big deal. All right, we saw things in our country, in our culture, in our churches, but many, many, not everybody, maybe ignored them, thought it would be okay, it would pass. And so today, there are many believers who maybe don't read the Bible and see what the Bible says about the last days, about the last times, about what it's going to be like in apostasy and wickedness, and as Satan is getting together the one world government. I mean, think about it right now. If you believe the return of Christ is imminent, which you should, that could happen today. And so if it happened today, then Satan has a man ready to be the Antichrist, whoever that may be. And he has, therefore, the world prepared for a one world government and one world religion. Now, it may not be for 100 years. It may not be, but the devil is going to have things ready, and we ought to be able to see that through the lens of Scripture. And so what do you see with the blending of most religions and even denominations today? it's all good. You start to see the battle over homosexuality and a lot of the denominations and splits between the conservative and liberal groups, and some are ordaining pastors that are homosexual. I mean, that's not new, but yet it's caught many believers by surprise. But even non-believers accepted Bible truths. We said on the books of all 50 states in the United States up through the 1960s, sodomy was a sin. It was wrong. And I mean, that would even shock some people, even that it made it to the 60s. That it was accepted. It was understood there. There was no debate. I mean, you were a closet homosexual, if anything. All right? Though that was not uncommon, but it was in America. The spiritual battle between light and darkness was still raging in the culture, but it was as if a big curtain, a Christianized worldview, shielded us from seeing it. But over time, as the education system became more secularized, humanistic, atheistic, progressively removing the Bible and Christian teaching, as many churches and families and Christian institutions compromised God's word, endorsed a secular system that was indoctrinating generations of children, the more secularized the younger generations became. Each succeeding generation, very rarely will you see the next generation be more conservative or stronger on the Word of God. Oftentimes it's the opposite. And now today we see Generation Z is what they've titled most younger ones today. Generation Z, the most atheistic generation in the history of the United States. Not the world, but in the United States. It's called a post-Christian generation. The more atheistic they became, the more they will build their morality on man's word, man's wisdom, and thus be their own gods and aggressively promote what they are committed to, moral relativism. There are no moral absolute truths. Anyone who says otherwise is the enemy. Must be removed and even exterminated. That is what we're seeing. It's as if the curtain has been drawn back. The spiritual battle that's always been there is now allowed to run rampant in this culture. All right? Now, it's always been rampant before in Genesis, the days preceding the flood, after it, other countries, other cultures. But in America, which is fairly unique, at least among modern countries, in its founding and its heritage and the Word of God and all of those things. And again, we know that we're not saying that even the vast majority were believers, but they held to Bible values, that the Word of God was the Word of God. It was the authority. And so there were no real major debates. Although not everybody believed it, there were no real debates on, you didn't have to discuss this, what is marriage? There are more than two genders. Is homosexuality wrong? Is abortion wrong? All right. Of course it is. All right. But now, as we see, as we're rolling along, and the complete abandonment of the Word of God, for the most part, not only in our government, but by people and even churches and even people who say they're believers, and for many they are caught off guard and don't know how to answer the things that we're seeing today, because I'm not going to call it right or left. Those that follow man, those that follow not the Bible, are very aggressive. They're not content to just have their view be there. It's got to be law. It's got to be rule. You must be forced to admit it. And I mean, whoa, it can get violent. And so we're coming back, and we said in order to deal with those issues, though we can just pluck those issues off the tree, but the tree is rotten, and the tree is rotten, and the fruit are rotten, and the fruit are corrupt because the tree is corrupt, because the roots are corrupt. And many times we only focus on we pull a fruit, we want to attack the fruit. And that doesn't mean we can't. By the way, that happens in parenting. I've done it and you do it. We see the fruits in our children's life, we don't like those things. And we want to attack that. We got to get to the root problems though. We got to not just be fruit pickers. We've got to get to the root, because if you don't attack the fruit's always going to be corrupt, all right? And we're going to be happy with dealing with just little things and think it's okay, but no. Why is your child lying all the time? Why are they angry? Why, Dad, are you angry? Why are you lustful? We better trace that down to the very root of the being, all right? And we need to do the root of
homosexuality, alcohol, boom, 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 and that is sin. And so again, we've been talking about we've got to have a biblical definition of sin, because that's going to then answer this question. If you were to ask somebody, is homosexuality sin? I mean, that's what we're wanting to talk about. Is homosexuality sin? Now, you ask that question 50, 100 years ago, you're going to get a high percentage of the exact same answer without anyone even thinking. All right? And they're not even going to, they would know what the word sin means. Now, today, if you were to ask that question to 100 random people, that would be an interesting answer. Number one, would they even know what we're just talking about when we say sin? Would they even take issue with that word, sin? Would they say, well, that's an offensive word, but that means there's things that are right and wrong. Who are you? Are you a Bible thumper? Oh, you're one of those. You know, you're dangerous. You're hateful. It's you that's the problem. Why can't we all get along? Why can't we all love one another? Why can't we just tolerate? Hey, what, you know, and because that issue of sin. And so we're looking at that. Because if there are things that are sin, then there are rights and wrongs. There are absolute rights and wrongs, and that means then there is a higher standard. There's an authority. There has to be, right? We don't like that, as anybody likes that. Even if we're saved today, we still don't like it. Our pride rebels against that. Nobody tell me what to do. You know, we just said how we do with the speed limit. Is there not somebody in authority that said that? But does not every man normally do that which is right in their own eyes? We don't like to hit that one. But we say, well, I don't agree with that. Then how are you any different than a homosexual? Well, no, you're different, but your reasoning is not any different. I don't agree with that. I think it's wrong. Therefore, and you exchange truth with lies. Now that may seem harsh, but again, it comes back to our reasoning. Because once you accept wrong reasoning, it takes you anywhere you want to go. Well, I don't think that this applies to me. See, that's why you do what you do. Is that not answer to the sin problem for a lot of people? I don't think it's sin. I don't think it's wrong. I don't think you can tell me it is. So therefore, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I mean, is that not, take a look at all of our lives and any sin you're currently involved in right now. You've had some kind of reasoning like that. Not everybody. You might just willfully be rebelling. I know it's wrong. I don't really care. But for many of us, they don't know my circumstances. It doesn't really apply to me in this. Every man does that which is right in their own eyes. And we have chaos. And you can read the book of Judges, right? And what? By the way, what's in the book of Judges? Chaos. Homosexuality in that one chapter. That's just like the chapter 19 with Lot. About the man's traveling with his concubine. And the men of the city come out. Maybe you've never read that chapter in the book of Judges. It's a very similar one. They come out and they want to, and he gives, he's like, oh, that's awful. That's disgusting. Exactly. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And so when there's no right and wrong, no standard of sin or what's right and wrong, then you do what you're going to do. All right? And chaos and all kinds of things happen. And so we're looking at that. And so that is the question. What is sin? Remember any of the definitions? You can go ahead, out loud. Give me a Bible definition or your own definition. When I say your own definition, I'm not trying to say, we'll just make it what you think it is. But what would your, if you were teaching today, if I needed just to pluck any IBC member, which I should be able to do, any IBC member, and say, we have an emergency need. The teacher that's supposed to teach this class could not be here today. Could you fill in? I mean, there ought to be no IBC member that shouldn't say, absolutely, I can do it. Your heart could be pounding. You might be sweating. You might be breaking out in hives. But you should be able to say, yeah, yes, I can do it. And then you say yes, and then you can pray the whole time. All right? Absolutely. And I say, well, what's the lesson? I don't have time to look over it. I can do all things through Christ. Can the Lord not help you? Do not spend time in the Bible yourself. All right? Normally, we'd say, teach whatever you've been reading in your Bible this week. But if we said, it's pretty simple. It's a lesson on sin. Oh, okay. Shouldn't we be experts on that? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. You're going to teach 5 to 8-year-old children what is sin, and you're the teacher. All right. So when you go into that class, all right, boys and girls, look at me. Boys. All right, good. We're going to look at this morning, what is sin? Oh, you know. What are you going to tell them? What are you going to say to them? Now, this is, boys and girls, what do you think sin is? Let's hear somebody. Raise your hand. No, we're going to raise your hand. Control the class, right? No, we're not listening to you. We're not going to ignore you, all right? All right, very good. Go ahead. What is sin? Sin is, you know, whatever children say. And a lot of times they're right on mark. Right? They haven't learned how to get fake and fancy. Sin is when you hit your sister. That is correct, Johnny, all right? Sin is telling lies. Sin is bad, you know, whatever little children think. Have you ever asked your own kids that? What is sin? Well, now, why is that wrong? Now you're getting into the basics. Okay, so you shouldn't hit your sister? No, why not? Well, because daddy said so. Well, now, what if you have a daddy that doesn't say so? See, we got to be careful when we're teaching. We should not lie. Why shouldn't we lie? Well, because it's bad. Why is it bad? Well, because God said so. Good. How do you know God said so? Because daddy said no. You know, again, it's children, but, well, does the Bible say? The Bible does say that. But why do you think God said that that's sin? Well, if you lie, well, I mean, I guess just because. Well, because the Bible says that God is truth. And God, in fact, he says, and lying lips are an abomination. There's that word abomination in Proverbs. Lying lips are an abomination. It's the very opposite of who God is and God's character. And so, boys and girls, God wants us to tell. Okay, so you basically, what sin is, but you're showing your children, which we should be showing adults, that there is a high standard and the authority is God. God is the standard. God is the creator. God is the one who sets up absolute rights and wrongs. God is the one that says sin and evil. Therefore, that's the standard, and we're going to obey God. And so, boy, and if we don't obey God, by the way, boys and girls, what does God do in the Bible when it comes to, then you get into what happens when we sin. Boy, every parent, every teacher should be able to teach on that. That's salvation. That's the gospel. That's why we need a Savior. That's what happens. That's why there's a hell. We talk about sin. We talk about judgment. God is a holy, God judges sin. There's punishment. Do you know why mommy and daddy punish you? Do you know why there's consequences to that? Because God punishes sin. And you start taking them to the Bible. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and disciplines. Talk about the different relationship. The wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory. I mean, the Bible talks about sin all the time. And so we talk about the definition. And that, therefore, once you get the definition of sin, then we go open the Bible and begin to see what does God say that sin is. We can look at 10 Commandments. We can look at different things in the Bible. And for us, we're going to circle back around then. And assuming that you have a proper definition of sin, then we can begin to discuss why is this a sin compared to what does the world say? The world says it's not anymore. It used to be. I mean, it was. Not everybody said it was, but it was. But now it's not. All right? And in fact, to even think that there was a time, I mean, how did that get to be the law? How was there laws of sodomy, by the way? Isn't it amazing how that name has stood the test of time? Look up the books. Pennsylvania, law of sodomy. North Carolina, law of sodomy. I mean, it's so many called that. All right? That name is comes from Genesis 19. I mean, 1,000 years ago is that. All right? That name has endured the test of time due to the wickedness of that sin and what it was and what it stood for and that it was even on the books of every state in the 1960s until it was banished by wise men, or so we thought. All right? Whoa. All right? And so today, if you thought, I wonder if we could get that reinstituted today. All right? You'd say, oh, man, forget it. This is too far gone. There's no way. All right? So what is sin? How about it? I've given you some time. What's your definition of sin? You stole it. Wait a minute. You sin to get a definition of sin. Okay. All right. Good, simple one there. Very good. Sin is what? Disobedience. Again, sometimes you got to take those definitions a little bit and say, well, what do you mean by disobedience? Okay, right here.
Sin is the transgression of the law.
All right, a transgression of the law, right out of 1 John. Were you going to say something, Lionel? Okay, he took it. All right, very good. All right, very good. That'd be a good one there. You say, well, I mean, if you can't help it, it's okay to do it. You understand, conceived in sin. We can talk Psalm 51. All right, we can look at some of those kind of things. Romans 5 about Adam, absolutely. And Adam, we fall and say, well, I'm a sinner. I'm born a sinner. Therefore I need, wow, okay, well, what's the remedy? Transgression of the law. But all of that brings us back to then disobedience, not doing what God says, disobeying what God has. Okay, all of that, though, lets us know, though, we have to have a knowledge then of what God says. It can't be up to private interpretation. Well, it's going to go back again to a higher standard, and that is God. This is sin because God said it's sin. This is wrong because God said it's wrong. This is right because God said it's right. And so everything's got to be tied back to that, or then we get a little leaven the whole lump, and we start to have private interpretation of what we think's right or wrong, and, well, what could be wrong for John and his family may not be for their family because their families are different. Whoa, and then we open up to every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and we can see where we're at today with a lot of those things. So we're bringing it back around here. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. While we're turning to Genesis 2, could ask right here, we could ask these college guys. I like asking college people stuff. Now, they may get nervous, all right? We got a recent graduate over here. You should know everything, Charlie. All right, I've got some PCC guys back here. All right, Katie back there, masters. I mean, we got smart people here. We should ask them the questions, right? All right, on those kind of things and about sin and definition. I'm sure they get in some debate. I remember being in college, getting in debates. I'm hopefully getting in some debates with roommates and preacher boys. You know, is this right or wrong? And college people are famous for that. We get in all kinds. Sometimes just messing with people, just wanting to argue, right? To debate, to provoke, all right? And just to see what people say back and forth, ask questions and have spiritual debates and things like that, sometimes on things that we know, and sometimes, or maybe a teacher taught something, or we had to read a book, or we heard a message, and all those kind of things. So Genesis 2, while we're getting to Genesis chapter 2 there, we're looking at some things here. Again, sin, looking at the Bible definition of sin. First time sin is mentioned is not going to be, though, in Genesis 2 or 3 or even 1. Not going to see the word sin mentioned until chapter 4. But we can come back to Genesis 2 right here, and we can see the first law that God established in Genesis 2 verse 16. Genesis 2, you're going back to the very fabric of the beginning. You're right, absolutely. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not. There's a first thou shalt not. Thou shalt not eat of it. Notice there's a penalty. There's consequences if you disobey this. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, the day that you disobey or transgress my law, thou shalt surely die. So here's the law, here's the rule. No 10 commandments, there's just one. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you do, here's the consequence. Okay, we move on. We understand in chapter number 3, as Satan begins to counteract that, question God's word, cast doubt, twist it, confuse it, all of those kind of things. We know what happened. Verse 6, at chapter 3. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food,
and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So at that point, the moment Adam, who fully knew exactly what he was doing, fully transgressed, just boom, all right, boom, there's the first sin. We call that the fall of man. What are the consequences? Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open. Now their eyes had been open already. We're talking here in the area of maybe the spiritual realm. They're now aware of sin and guilt. They're experiencing things they've never even understood or known before. They're ashamed. They're scared. They're thinking in their mind of excuses, of blame, of what happened here. Their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves. That's we could get into that. That won't get off track here. We're talking about homosexuality, but why would that be wrong? There's only two people on the earth, husband and wife. Why would they have a natural inclination to be embarrassed about not being clothed? All right, and they immediately got some leaves, began to cover themselves up. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Seeing the first consequences of sin when we transgress the law. Same thing as we do today. And Adam and Eve and his wife, he hid. They hid themselves. Why were they hiding? What were they ashamed of? Do we ever do wrong and avoid our parents? Can you think back when you were younger? Can you think back yesterday? Adults, can you remember when you did wrong, you broke a rule, the boss, the employer? Huh? You didn't want to face them? All right, you avoid, right? You avoid your authority figure. You did wrong. Ugh. You're ashamed. You're embarrassed. You're scared. You hope they won't notice. You're trying to think, what am I going to say when I'm called to account? It says that they hid themselves. They actually hid from God. Verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? Now God knows why. God asks questions for a reason. By the way, parents, you should ask questions for a reason. You may already know the answers. You're asking questions to draw things out, to reveal, to find out if they're going to be honest. Where art thou? And he said, Adam, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Now, he was never afraid before. Fear. What was he afraid of? God is the authority figure now. I was afraid. I was scared because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, he said, verse 11, who told thee that I was naked? How did you know that? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? I mean, that's a pretty plain, right? That's a point blank question, two answers, yes or no, right? Now, before we get too hard on children, yes or no? Yes, yeah. Now, what do we do? Do you know how fast you were going? Yes or no? What was it? What, did the speed limit change? What happened? I clocked you going, what? Speedometer. Boss comes to you. Were you late for work? Yes or no? Now, doesn't mean, I suppose, that there aren't valid things. We understand they're emergencies. We're just talking about the regular basis of things, though. All right, did you eat of the tree? And the man said, yes. No, verse 12. And the man said, that right there. Lord, everything was fine. Until you brought her to me. I mean, that's really what Adam's doing. And we laugh at that, but that's what we do. You know what? Things are great in the garden. I wouldn't have any problems. You know what he's actually doing here? What is Adam doing? Blaming God. He's not blaming the woman who's not named Eve yet. He is subtly doing what we do. It's not my fault. Actually, God, it's your fault. It's the woman whom thou gavest
to be with me. Oh, how that must have warmed the heart of the devil. Oh, how that hurt God. You gave her to me. She's the one. What's behind the surface there? If you would not have given her to me, I would not have sinned. Therefore, my sin was really not my fault. Have we advanced from that today? She gave it to me, and I did eat. The Lord doesn't even address that at the moment. He just goes right to Eve, the woman, and says, what is this that thou hast done? And what is her answer? The same thing we do today with sin. The serpent, by the way, who created the serpent that Satan filled? God did. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. God doesn't really address that either at the time. We know the rest of the story here. Sin. And boy, the entire world plunged into sin. And based on Romans 5, wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Whoa. And we're still dealing with that sin problem today, each and every one of us, individually, our homes, our marriages, our families, our countries, our entire universe is in sin. And now today, here in a Christian nation at its origin, America, Judeo-Christian values, when people say Judeo-Christian values, if you're not familiar with that, they're basically saying biblical values. They're saying Judea, meaning the Jews, God's people, Old Testament values, things that they believed based on New Testament. They're putting those together, the Judeo-Christian value system, one God, absolute rights and wrongs. There are things such as sin. That's what America, by and large, was founded on. Doesn't mean every believer, every founder was a God believer or redeemed, but by and large, they held to the Scriptures. They held to at least the values of the Scriptures and things like that. And now today, here we are in 2023, and we sit back and we're like, what is happening? What is going on in some of these states? How evil can you be that they're not only promoting abortion, they are going out of their way to promote it and to pay for you to have one? I mean, that is wicked and vile, right? I mean, some of these, how could they even do that? They are like so anti, how could they even think of that? How can they be letting children make these decisions and say that they don't know what they are and actually persecute and prosecute the parents? And we could fill in the blank on and on and on and on, because they have left, if they even had it, the values of the Bible, which is the authority on that. God created male and female. God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Life is a gift from God. Boom. All of those things which we and I would think would be just normal, and we'd know that, have wiped away by and large. Not everybody, praise the Lord. Not everybody, but we certainly see the what's out there. And like, what in the world's going on today? And now here we are today, 2023, and we're people, believers, or professing believers, and even churches, saying, well, you know what? We want to be a welcoming, all-inclusive church. Right? And they play on your emotions. I thought a church is supposed to be where you get help. I thought church is where you're supposed to come and help people. And do you welcome them into your church? And then you, well, of course. I mean, for everybody. But I mean, you know, and then you get, well, then do you preach that that's sinful and wrong? Do you say that you can't do that here because we want to go somewhere? And so we're bringing it around. We look at the issue of sin. And again, chapter 4 in Genesis is the first mention of sin. Why don't we look at that before I move on? You get to chapter number 4, we have the first children. We have Adam now becoming a father, the first mother, Adam and Eve. By the way, the first Father's Day gift, a little Cain. All right, maybe you've heard that before. All right, I went over some of your heads there, all right? That's an old joke, and the first gift was a little Cain. I have a little Cain for you, honey. All right, so she gets Cain, then later on is Abel. lots of time passing here. Don't assume they're just little kids, all right? We know it comes to the offering. They're likely, who knows, they could be 100, right? Does that shock you? All right. It could be 100. It could be 200. We have no idea, all right? They bring their offerings. Cain, we can, again, you say you want to get a Bible doctrine of Cain, or you got to look up every time the Bible talks about Cain. You got to go a lot of that New Testament. You got to go to Hebrews. You got to go to Jude. You got to go to 1 John where it says Cain was wicked. That Cain was evil. So you can't get all that from Genesis, but God gives you more there. And Cain was a rebel, the first of the rebels. The first who said, I'm going to do it my way, that song. Going to do things my way, not God's way. All right? Thumb my nose at what Dad taught me. I'm going to bring whatever I want to bring to God, and God better accept it. Isn't that what we do today? This is what God said. You know what? No one's going to tell me what to do. This is the way it's going to be. And if not, then I don't like God. He's a bully. All right, we're going to twist things around. We're going to make God the bad guy. He better just take me just as I am. Don't call it sin. Don't call it wrong. And if not, then blah, blah, blah. And that's what Cain did here. He's a rebel. Jude says, they went in the way of Cain. Knew it my way. I'm going to get to heaven in my own works. No blood. No blood. No cross. No sacrifice. No redemption. I'll get to heaven in my way. My works. And he brings the offering and... what does God say? God rejects it. God rejects it, verse 5, chapter 4. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He was pouting, he was angry, he was enraged. Verse 6, very important. Here's the first time you're going to see the word sin, 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, if thou doest well, if thou doest right, shout, thou not be accepted, here it is, and if thou doest not well, sin, there's the first time, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, sin, and thou shalt rule over him. The idea there, there's some debate over what that's all talking about. The idea there is sin is crouching, it's at the door, it's waiting. We're sinful. Don't open it. You just sinned and violated. Why didn't you do right? And when we see what happens, he then murders his brother, and we continue on. You can continue reading through the Bible there. So, again, a Bible definition of sin. So let's bring it back here. We have 5 minutes or less. Is homosexuality a sin? If someone says no, then you need to ask him, well, then what is it? If you do not believe that homosexuality is sin, then what is it? And let them answer. Well, it's not sin. It's normal. It's perfectly fine. It's natural. It's a biological. You've got to keep asking questions. Why do you believe that? Let them talk. Why do you believe that? That's going to be the key right there. Well, they may not know why they believe that. They may just assume that. I believe the first time a study from an expert came out that even came up with the theory that you could be born that way was in the 90s. And you could study the person that came out with that, all right? That even through that first hint that people could latch on to, yeah, look, some random study, no proof, of course, that you're born that way. And by the way, a lot of Christians, they don't know what to do with that one. Well, I don't want to be mean. I mean, if you're born that way. And the homosexual crowd wants to make it like the civil rights movement, right? Aha, see, this is the same issue here. For years, the blacks and the civil rights, so this is the same issue. Except your skin color, you are born that way. That's never anything in the Bible against that one. And so here's the thing. If you say, well, yes, I sort of do believe you're born that way. Okay, now let's trace that. Got to trace that cord back. If you believe that a person can be born homosexual, and that you're attacking the very character of God. Because God calls homosexuality sin. We're going to continue to look at that. Old Testament and New Testament. And the Bible declares, if you believe this, that God is the creator of everything and you, and that every person is uniquely and fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139. So if you believe that a person is born, I'm talking about a person that would say they believe the Bible or they're a believer, not an atheist, but you're born that way, and that God, we should embrace that and be okay with it and stop calling it sin, then you're really going back. You're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do. You're attacking the very character of God. Well, then God's wrong. You can't deny that it's called sin in the Bible. Now, you may not agree with that, but Leviticus and Deuteronomy and through the Kings and the Chronicles and even moving forward into Romans 1 and Corinthians and 1 Timothy and Jude, it is always through the Scriptures portrayed as sin, unnatural, wrong, abomination, and wickedness. So that if that's not true, then you've just shifted and changed the entire... I mean, you basically have said that the Bible's not true, therefore God's not true, and if you're born that way, then forget it. I mean, everything tumbles. And so I know that there are well-meaning believers who struggle because they're trying to balance loved ones, friends, co-workers, children who have said that they are or believe that they are. And you're trying to balance love, which you do. You love them. You care for them. Of course you do. They're your child. They're your grandchild. They're your neighbor, your friend. You dearly love their family. You're trying to balance that with God's word, but many believers capitulate and compromise and go with love or emotion or what they say is love, all right, over God's word and God's truth. And then who becomes the enemy? God, the Bible, the church. And we abandon that and chaos ensues. So our time is up today. We'll jump on that a little more detail. We'll start looking again. I did this on a Sunday night, but we're going to do a little more in depth in Sunday school. Start looking at every verse in the Bible that deals with homosexuality, both Old Testament and New Testament, and see if we can come up with a Bible truth doctrine on what God says about it, and then try to answer some of the objections. Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, what do you say when they say they're born that way? How do you know they're not? What do you say when it's just a choice and they can't help it or it's genetic? Or what do you say when, why can't you just let people love each other, love each other? I mean, what do we come back? If it is a sin, are we supposed to treat them unkindly? Do we shun them? Should we welcome them in the church and have a section for them if they won't acknowledge the truth? Can you be a practicing homosexual and even a believer? How do we answer those questions from the Bible? We're going to try to get those answered in the next 2 or 3 weeks, all right? But our time is up. I believe the choir is supposed to hurry downstairs. They've got double songs, I believe, they're singing today. So if you could make your way, choir, downstairs, you've got an important practice. Before 10:30, you're starting off the morning service with the choir. So head on out. You're dismissed. Fellowship, look for visitors, and welcome our fathers on this Father's Day.